David Hawkins and something he wrote about going from perfection to perfection. We think we move from imperfection to perfection, bad and wrong to better and better. But really, an old trash can with rust and holes is a perfect old trash can with rust and holes. When we see that everything is in constant emergence. So me at the gym, perfect. Here's the fourth episode of this podcast series on somatic philosophy, whatever that might be. Here I'm talking to Pilates instructor Alitza Ondrejkova, and we are recording our conversation just after her Thursday evening class.
Good day today. I was nervous the whole day, and then we got in here, and it was the perfect atmosphere with all the people. Didn't you think so?
I loved it, and I don't know. Today I had not the best day of the days which I can have.
Really?
And then I just came here, and it's like completely different energy here.
Yeah.
So I just came, and I was just boosted with the energy nothing.
Yeah.
And then I really enjoyed it today.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, I like coming to this gym because I like all the foreign students. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so nice to be among these people who are from, like these girls were speaking German to each other, and those were speaking Spanish.
Yes.
And the other people, there were some other language, and, you know, so it's, and no one's, you know, extremely.
No. This is for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not about working out. It's about coming here, having some nice time.
Yeah.
Maybe to reset your head after working day and have some nice time.
Yeah.
And going back home.
And Pilates is just because you always say it in the beginning that you didn't say it today, but the other times you often say it. So this is anyone here for the first time doing Pilates for the first time? Perfect, good, a special welcome, you know. So this is Pilates, it's not difficult, we're just doing, because that's what you think, you know. I had never ever been to a gym till I was 33, mm-hmm. and I'm 40 now. Yeah.
But if I would say from the beginning, okay, this is really hard class.
I know. Of
people
course.
Would get scared,
yeah.
And if I tell them it's not that difficult, and then when they think that it's difficult, you know, they can breathe through it, and then
yeah.
It's better than being scared from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what is coming?
Yeah, and then exactly what is coming, and then you say something like bring your leg to the right, which is very straightforward. You know, you take your leg and bring it to the right. But if you think that it's going to be difficult, you're like, what way? Wait.
Yes, exactly. That's actually funny. Mm.
Yeah.
And you know, I like to welcome everybody because I know for myself that I'm scared to come to the classes where I haven't been before.
Mm.
And for example, I used to do yoga a lot before, and then I stopped because I didn't have time.
Mm.
And for example, yesterday I went there again after a really long time, and I was scared, even though I'm instructor, I train, and I was still scared because
scary?
We are new.
Yeah.
What was scary? In my case, I was afraid that, you know, when you go to some class, people used to come there regularly, so they create some kind of community there, and they are friends, and then the instructor goes around and he's like, oh yeah, hello, hey again, and yeah, and they know people by names and they know how to work with them.
Mm.
And when you are new there, it's a bit scary beginning.
But you can like, I also hated going to the first yoga classes. I mean, some of them I really liked, but some teachers or leaders are, you know, they aren't so nice or always. And some movements are also really difficult, like, you know, sitting up straight with a straight back is really difficult if you are not trained. And I used to not be able to do it. I used to have like a really bent back when I was 33, even. Yeah, so I hated doing that. But I mean, you have this perfect, you can do all of the movements and still you were.
Yeah, I'm still nervous that I don't know how to do things properly, for example.
It's crazy.
Nobody is perfect, even though when you work out every day or regularly, there is still some space where you can get better.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe you can get better. Yeah, I'm still a little bit surprised that you were scared, but quite glad. I mean, but it's a sort of social scare more for you, right?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, more or less.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
Yeah.
That's my personality, not my training skills.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're a trainer for, what was the other thing you do? TRX or something?
TRX, exactly.
I don't even know what that is.
It's more about the strength.
Yeah.
You work out there with your body, but it's much more challenging.
Yeah. CX works, I've done. It was,
yes.
It's horrible.
Yes. It's
with weights.
CX is more like for a core.
Yeah.
And TRX is everything. You go through whole body.
But you sweat a lot.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
a
yes.
Lot.
Yeah. One of the things that I love especially about Pilates is that you don't sweat so much. You get
you
like
don't?
No, you I get like a little bit sweaty, but
yeah.
it's not like a heavy breathing kind
mm-hmm.
of konditionsträning. What's that in English? When you air aerobic, when you're training your lungs
mm-hmm,
ability
mm-hmm.
to eat, or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I really like about Pilates, that you get like a little bit sweaty, but not very much. But the day after and the next days, everything hurts. Like you can
yes,
feel
that's
it
true.
Everywhere.
Yeah. But actually I'm getting sweaty during my classes. And
but you talk all the time as well as workout.
You know what is interesting?
What?
That when I have my class and I do everything with you,
mm.
I talk to it,
yeah.
And I feel that I can do things much better when I'm holding that class, even though I have to talk to it,
mm.
compared to when I go to some other Pilates classes. And
mm.
then we do some plank, and I feel that I'm getting really tired,
mm.
and then I'm thinking, how is it possible? If this would be my class,
yeah.
I would feel like nothing here.
Yeah.
And now I'm just a participant here, and I'm getting very tired.
Interesting.
But I think it's, you know, in your head that you feel that pressure that you stand in front of the people and that those people rely on you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of pressure that yeah,
you
have to
you
perform.
Have, yeah, an extra adrenaline that
yes.
makes you stronger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't even think about it. And then I realize it when I go to other classes that
yeah.
how can I do it in my class and then getting tired here that quickly?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Because, I mean, your legs don't even shake. Mine,
oof, they do. If you don't see it, but they really do.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to skip some exercises because I feel very shaky there.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's it's so different with the different leadership styles. But Pilates is very particular. All the Pilates instructors I've been to classes for whatever. They all talk the entire time.
Mm.
So I'm just thinking it's like part of the Pilates exercise that you do talk the entire time. I love it.
I think
it's my best thing. It's really the thing that makes
so you
me
like that
yeah.
we talk during
yeah,
the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
class.
Yeah, never be silent. Otherwise so it starts talking in my
mm-hmm.
head.
Well, I think it's especially with the Pilates that you have way too many things to explain in very short time. So to make people to get it.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of technique behind every single movement. Even when you just go up and down with your leg.
Mm.
To do it properly, I would have to say like thousands of words like check your hips down,
yeah,
evenly,
yeah.
weight, shoulders down,
yeah.
spine, straight, point your toes, straight leg. And, you know, while I would explain all of this, we would do like 20 repetitions already. And
yeah.
That's already too much.
Yeah.
So actually it's quite tricky to instruct Pilates, I would say. At
yeah.
least for me.
Yeah.
To get good instructions,
mm.
you know, for people to do it properly.
But, that's also really interesting because what struck me why I asked you to do this was that I'm like, oh, she has perfect instructions. Like the instructions are so good in your class.
Thank you.
Because, and then you say something, we're lying on our backs and we're doing something with the lower back to the floor and the feet up or something.
Mm.
And then suddenly you say, you don't need to tense your shoulders. Leave your shoulders. And I'm like, how did you know that I was all tense in my shoulders, you know? And then, and today you didn't say it, but I was thinking about it all the time, and I'm like, come on, you
yes,
know,
yes.
Let them go. And the thing is, it's, the movement is so much easier if I'm not trying to like tense the rest of my body.
I know. Sometimes I don't even realize.
Yeah.
That's why I don't say it. Like,
yeah.
But when I feel that I lay down like this,
yeah,
and then I say, okay, shoulders down, and it's also for me to,
to
relax.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you're instructing yourself.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. Like saying what you do all the time. But you, yeah. Yes.
For example, like holding a breath is really not good.
Yeah.
And we tend to hold the breath when it's getting exhausting.
Yeah.
Like for example, when you are holding a plank. And then you are not breathing, you are just, you know, tense, holding it and waiting until it's over. And that's where it's getting important to breathe through it.
Mm.
And then when you breathe through it, you can handle much more, actually.
Mm.
Because
that's the reason I breathe so, I breathe like very, as loud as I can, just because to remember, you know?
Yes.
If I go quite silent, I know I'm holding my... I'm like...
Yeah.
The girl next to me, the German girl, was also breathing really loud, so that was good.
Yes. She actually reminded me to remind you
that
you should breathe.
Yeah.
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 I know. For example, yesterday when I went to that yoga and we did something very challenging and then I was breathing very fast and then we were in the position to take some rest and I was... you know, really heavily breathing, and he just came to me and he said, breathe deeply.
Mm.
And you know, my mind doesn't realize that I should, you know, focus on breathing like deeply in and out. And when he told me, okay, I started and I felt such a big difference, you know.
Mm.
I felt much relieved. I enjoyed that relax much more.
Mm.
Like than just breathing fast and focusing on that how tired I am.
Mm.
So the breath is really powerful.
Yeah. What happens? I mean, why we forget it so often with the breathing? What is it that happens with the air? Or is it something else?
I think it goes through your mind.
Yeah.
Because if you breathe heavily, you are stressed, you know, all your body is tensed. But then when you think that you should breathe slowly, you slowly relax everything in your body and you calm your mind down and everything. I don't know. I think that's it goes through your mind, through your head.
So why is it important for the mind to be calm?
Because mind is so powerful. It can control your body in such a way that you don't even realize.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when you hold some difficult position during the class and you think that, oh my God, this is really exhausting. And then it's just your mind which is telling you that this is exhausting, but your body can go much further.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's also the thing, that you rather don't focus on how exhausting it is.
Mm.
Just keep breathing. Think about something else and then you can do much more than you think.
That's why it's so important that the leader is talking all the time, because then
you don't have time to think. Yes.
Yeah, you don't like give words to the experience.
Mm.
You're just listening, you're just trying to like obey the instruction, you know. I think this is a really important life lesson, to be disciplined enough to do what the instructor says, you know.
Yeah.
So because if you fill your mind with protest, your body kind of does the same.
Mm.
It's like, no, I'm
yes.
not. You know? So I thought about it when I first went to study going to yoga and Pilates and things. The yoga teacher, suddenly you're sitting on the floor. For me, it was such a new experience, since I had never been to any workout whatsoever in my entire life. And then suddenly you're in this room with all these people like with their eyes closed and breathing deeply. And, you know, it's such a cliche image, you know, and it's laughable in the beginning. You're like, God, really? Me, hippies? And then the instructor says something like, feel the floor, feel your roots reach through the floor, you know? And then if you actually feel that, something happens.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting, because when I was younger, and when I started with yoga, it was actually my sister who brought me there. And, you know, yoga should make you feel better, a little bit calm and relaxed after all day. And I actually felt angry because I couldn't let go everything in me. And when instructor was telling to me, breathe and feel and relax, close your eyes, feel how your hands are getting heavy on your knees. And every single word was making me more and more angry.
Yes.
Completely opposite. And I didn't understand that. And then when I gave it a shot again after years, then I realized that this is actually really relaxing and really helpful. That's actually funny how I changed.
Yeah. What changed?
I don't know. I would say that I grew up.
Yeah, you grew up. But it's like your intention with it too. Sort of it's not, if you think about it as a sort of discipline exercise to do what someone tells you. So when you're a teenager, you don't want to do what anyone tells you.
Yeah.
Being in the body, you know, if you're the kind of person who is a lot in the head, it's like a mockery for someone to tell you to be in your body. You're like, I don't need to be in my body, I'm in my head.
Mm.
I'm in my head and I like it here. My whole world is sort of in my mind. I used to be that person for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's been like a life transformation thing to get my mind into the body.
How did that happen to you?
It's with the Pilates and with everything.
But what happened that you came to the Pilates for the first time?
I think I had a huge life crisis. Yeah.
And so that's what helped.
Got a gym card. I got a new job. I got a gym card for the first time. Like I had everything changed, you know.
Yeah.
And I started going to this Reiki. Do you know what that is? Reiki.
No.
It's like this healer type person.
Okay.
Who has her hands on your body and clears out. It's very. The massage lady at our job said, Miriam, you have to go to Birgitta. You have to go see her. I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, I was in a crisis. And then I haven't been now for a year or something because I've had a baby and stuff. But she really, something really happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something really happened. I went every once a month.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. But so that, the Reiki and the new job and the gym card and, you know, like everything sort of started moving from my head to like other ways of being in the world.
Mm.
And talking of being in the world, with your yoga class yesterday, when you said when you are afraid to be there, it's a kind of being in the world. Like, who am I in this yoga class if I'm not the instructor? Yeah.
Yeah. I felt really, really scared in the beginning, but then it disappeared after a few minutes.
A few minutes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just, you know, that pressure from the world, from outside, like...
Perform.
I will not be able to hold it, and what will they think about me? And
yeah, what will they think about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I'm in a bag, nobody knows me there, but still...
Yeah, nobody knows you, and you are... super fit, you know, so
but still, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
It's so interesting with this, what will they think about me?
That's why I started with the gym maybe 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
maybe even less,
mm.
because before I also didn't like it, like being around so many people, and
yeah.
I thought that, you know, I think everybody thinks about the gym the same.
Yeah.
That I will go there, I will look silly.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do things.
Yes.
I'm weak and
yeah.
those people there are strong. So
yeah.
everybody has these things in the head and then that blocks you from going there.
Mm.
But then you come here and then you realize that actually everybody is really friendly. And
yeah.
if you struggle, people will help you.
Yes.
They will explain you.
Yeah.
You find the friends, or you can go there with the friends.
Mm.
It's completely opposite of what people think about the gym.
Mm. What is it we try to be? Like the strongest and the... Is that the problem?
I don't think that we try to be the strongest people in the room. It's just we don't want to fail.
We don't want to fail.
Mm. And if you don't manage some exercises or lifting weights or something,
mm.
then you feel like you failed.
Mm. I was thinking about one of the Spanish people, and I could see that I almost wanted to just tell her, you know, my back was like that. It doesn't mean that it will always be like that. You know, if you come here often, you will have a straight back. That's what happens when you take Pilates class.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was also walking like this before.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly now...
And I couldn't like sit like this and touch my feet.
Me
this
neither.
Is like a new thing.
I couldn't sit just like straight up.
No, me
because
neither.
I was shaking
yeah.
right after.
Yeah. Yeah. Me yeah. too, me too. I couldn't sit like a... I'm still... Oh, okay. I'm still, now it's straight. Now I can see in the mirror that... Yeah.
Nice and straight, yeah. Yeah, it comes with the practice.
It comes with practice, even if you start when you're an adult. It's not like you need to have done it since you were
yeah.
8.
You just have to overcome that fear which you have in the beginning, if
yeah.
somebody has.
And the irritation, like the...
Yeah.
Like I could see that she sort of started giving up a little bit with the movements,
mm.
just sort of
yeah.
lay there. Yeah, it's a pity. You want to sort of fast forward them to... the third time they're here when they've noticed the difference. And
I know some people, they just give up when they come for the first time and
yeah.
maybe it's too challenging for them. They just give up.
Yeah.
They feel frustrated and they leave and never show up again.
Yeah.
But I think if you like it, you can come often.
Yeah.
Practice, get much better. You get better really fast.
I know.
You don't even imagine how fast
yeah.
you can get better.
Yeah, I know.
2 weeks and you are there.
2 weeks. I always say 2 weeks. It's so easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's so quick and so easy, and it's really not a problem. I mean,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't lose it that quickly either. I mean, I missed now 3 or 4 weeks,
mm.
and I don't feel like a complete wreck.
No, no, no.
No.
No, it stays there. It's like with the cycling. You never
yeah.
forget how to
yeah.
ride a bicycle.
And it's like every time I've been here, I feel a little bit lighter. Like it's easier to walk. I'm like jumping a little bit almost, you know?
Yes, because you go through the struggle here and
yeah.
then outside it's easy again.
And then you sort of, it's also with the, what you Pilates does with to your spine and, you know, it's, you know, the what's it called? Like the air, this it sort of pulls out.
Yeah, in between the vertebrae.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 1.5 centimeters taller since I was 33.
Really?
Yes, I am. And I know because
wow.
I measured myself at the same place in the police station for my passport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know that
it
has this effect.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have read about it that people tend to look taller, but I thought it's just because before we walk like this
yeah.
with our backs round, shoulders hang in the front,
yeah.
and then after some classes you realize that I should actually hold myself a little
yeah.
bit straight, and then
yeah.
you look taller.
Yeah,
but I didn't know that it's actually
yeah,
a thing.
No, it's like actually in center. You can measure it in centimeters because it's not like when you go to measure yourself for your passport. It's not like you stand underneath a thing and you go like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you try to get as tall as possible. Yeah. No, it's really in centimeters. Yeah. And then the thing is, when you walk straight, your back stops hurting. You know?
Yes.
It hurts when you are not walking like that.
Exactly. Actually, I had a back pain, horrible back pain before, and when I started with Pilates, it just disappeared.
Yeah. It just just disappeared.
Yes.
It's so easy. I don't understand why not. You know, everybody should, they should have Pilates in school, you know? I don't get it.
Yeah. But not everybody likes it.
You don't have to like it. not everyone likes reading. It's still good for you.
Yes. Or sometimes I realize when I'm standing on the bus stop and I'm just thinking, and then I realize that, oh, I should straighten my back.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm straight.
Yeah.
It really keeps you thinking, and you know, you have it somewhere in the back of your head that, you know, you should hold yourself straight, and then it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Yeah. I just did an episode with a woman who does Alexander technique. Have you heard about that?
No.
It's I think this, as far as I understand it, the main principle, or one of them, is sort of to stop doing things that you don't need to do. So the technique is to learn to recognize the movements that you do automatically that you can stop doing. For instance, like today when we did the thing with the legs in the air, and I'm like, I'm tensing my shoulders, you know, so you start to notice that and you stop doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So also with the, if you stop slouching or stop like, because, so you look at a baby, like my 1 year old, it's complete straight back. All babies have complete straight backs. None of them sit like this. It doesn't happen unless they have like a back problem. And then something happens and we start to go like that. So if we can just, and it's, so the answer is, this is the natural way of your, for your spine to be straight. And it doesn't cost so much. Like it's doesn't, it's not for your, for your muscles to have to work all the time to keep it like that. But it's more like the muscles have to work when you are not doing that.
Yeah, and then they get used to it, you know, in that position.
Get used to it.
And then it actually takes some effort to get it back straight. But I think it's with our lifestyles now. You know, everybody sits behind the desk, you know, behind the computer. That's how you work everywhere.
Yeah. There was this cartoon image with one guy who sat like this, and then the doctor said, we can get the iPhone out of his hands, but to get the back and the neck straight again, that'll take some time.
That's true.
Yeah. But how did you get into Pilates and TRX? Or just working out?
I was working out here for myself. And then nothing special. It just one of my friends who was already working here, he told me that they need to get new instructors for TRX. And before I was doing a TRX a lot. So he just said, if I don't want to try it. And it was such a hard decision for me, because I'm a really shy person. So I couldn't imagine myself standing in front of the class full of people, telling them what to do. And another point in English, which is not my language. I was super stressed, and I couldn't decide until the last day. And then the night before, I was in a bed and I'm like, okay, I go there. I will take the challenge and I go there.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe me that I went, actually, because I was telling them, no, that's not for me. I like to go train somewhere in the corner where nobody talks to me. I don't want to be instructor. And he told me, but you are so strong, you should go. You should try it. And you are there anyway.
You're like the perfect instructor. Yeah.
No, but I struggled from the beginning a lot.
But you know what I think is a good instructor? Is someone who is a guide. So and to be a guide doesn't mean like a strong leader isn't someone who has the whip and makes people do what he says. But it's someone who liberates other people and allows them to be themselves and to grow.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's actually a very challenging part of this job.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't have the best day, and sometimes you have, you know, some difficulties in your life, and then you still have to go, you have to come here, and you have to cheer people, even though you are the one who needs to be cheered up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult, but sometimes it actually brings me energy.
Yeah.
When I come here after whole day working, you know, it's like different planet here, you know.
Yeah.
I step to the room and I'm like different person.
Yeah.
From very moment.
And you can listen, you can put on your music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your music and your schedule of movements that you've decided. And it's always a little bit different. It's always some parts are the same and some parts are different. And then you talk and talk and talk. And then suddenly it's like, oh, an hour passed.
Yeah.
This is another huge shock for me in the beginning. How an hour can pass without me noticing. Like
yeah.
An hour is such...
Very fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes I tell people, especially in the TRX, because there it's challenging, and I tell them, come on, time flies, keep going, guys.
Yeah.
It's just few more minutes. And those looks which I get from them, like, time flies? Really? We should change and you will see how time flies. Yeah, but I'm there to motivate, so I have to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. But and how did you get into Pilates? Was that before TRX or after?
No, that happened after, because I was already here.
Mm.
And then I saw advertisement on our webpage that they want to take some Pilates people.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, why not?
Mm.
Why not to try it? I already know how to work with people.
Yeah.
I felt confident being instructor.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try something new.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and then I'm here.
Do you are you going to do yoga as well, do you think?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Why not?
Pilates is more than enough.
Yeah. Oh, more than enough, but it, like if you were to change or...
Well, I think no, maybe from the practical point of view, because for a yoga you need a little bit different training.
Yeah.
You need to get some special certificate, I think.
Yeah.
For being a yoga instructor.
And it's also quite, it has this spiritual side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not made for it.
No.
I can go there as a participant, but not as an instructor.
Mm.
I think I would not be able to give those vibes.
I really like Pilates because it's so, it's such a, you know this, what was his name? Johannes Pilates or something?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And he was a doctor and... I
don't know exactly, but I know that either he was a doctor or he was injured. I don't remember exactly. And then he was on the bed and he wanted to exercise somehow.
Mm.
So actually he made all these exercises, original Pilates exercises, that you are able to do them on the bed.
Yeah.
You know? So he took that strings, how is it called? You know those, and then you can pull them and release them.
like in a mattress.
Yes. So he used those. So he pulled them from a bed and then he did some exercises.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he started to do these exercises with people in the hospital to get them fit again faster.
Mm.
But I don't remember the details. I'm also happy that I'm able to walk upstairs without using elevator and breathing like I'm dying on the third floor already.
Yes, yeah.
That's also nice. Or walking uphill.
Mm.
You know, you get better, you are in a shape.
Mm.
And you don't realize these things.
Mm.
Because, for example, I have also my parents. They are getting older now and they were doing nothing for 30 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly now they started to exercise a little bit. And they are much fitter and healthier in the age where they are now.
Mm.
I'm impressed. And they are surprised, like, how much difference they feel.
Mm. Yeah, I have also never been as fit as I am now.
Sometimes it's difficult to manage two jobs, if I have to say that.
Mm.
But I would come here anyway, even without being an instructor, so...
Mm. Now you get paid for working out.
Yes, but it's not the main goal to why we are doing it, our instructors. I mean, some instructors, they are so amazing, like, they bring so much energy to the room that I don't understand how they do it.
Mm.
After working the whole day and then coming here and being just joy everywhere.
Mm.
How could you ask them, or what's your plan? Will you sort of?
I don't know. I'm working on it, but it depends. I think also on the personality.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is easygoing and open and talks to everybody, then it's much easier to bring that to your classes.
And also, I mean, I think you have quite a lot of this, but it also depends on who comes to the class. I mean, how affected you are by the people in the class.
That as well, but from a beginning, you don't know those people.
No, but you can feel their energy.
Yeah, from some of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And from some of them, you feel that they didn't like it, and then in the end, they come to you, that was really nice.
Oh.
That also works sometimes.
Yeah.
Other way around them. It's funny.
Yeah. I said that the first time. Remember? I came and said, thank you, that was really nice.
Yes, but you are smiling all the time. You are not one of those people who want to kill me in their mind. Because it happens that sometimes, even for me, when I go to the class and I'm dying there, then I think I don't give a nice look to the instructor. And in the end, I'm happy.
Maybe I waited long enough to actually be so happy with exercise. You know? So now I'm actually very grateful, you know,
mm-hmm.
as long as it doesn't feel like I'm hurting myself or something. Like that, if I come here and I have like a slight, maybe a step to the wrong way
mm-hmm.
or something, so it hurts a little bit of my foot, then I just want to go home, you know, like, hurt myself. But most days it's not like that. Mm.
In that case, it's good if people tell us that I have a problem with this, with that, because we are able to come up with some variations where you don't, for example, need to use your knees that much or ankles. So,
have you had lots of sort of physical education about the body's muscles? Things?
Me, like me? I had some lecture here at Physiken. But I didn't take some course about the body or something.
No. But for to become a Pilates instructor, you got it from here at Physiken maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
Ah, maybe I could do that too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Of course you could.
Ah.
They always need people.
They do?
Mm.
Hmm. Maybe I should do that too. I have been thinking about it, becoming a Pilates instructor.
Yeah.
And I have the same. I'm like, I don't want to be standing in front of the class. What if I suddenly don't know what to say?
Then you will just improvise.
But I hate improvising. I'm really bad at it too.
You will find some words, or you will just laugh at yourself, and then, you know, people get relaxed and it's not end of the world.
How much do you prepare? Do you write, like, do you have little cues for what movements?
Yeah, in the beginning I prepared everything step by step, every single exercise
mm-hmm.
when I was new, but now more or less I just have it with me, like a backup plan, but usually I just come up with exercises from my mind.
Mm.
So I know how roughly I want to start, what I want to go through, where I want to end up, and then what is happening in between, it just comes to my mind, and I improvise.
Mm. So once I went to a class with someone who was definitely not prepared, and she was trying to improvise and sort of making things up as she went along.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst class ever, because it was so like the flow of it, there was no flow at all. It was
mm-hmm.
just like a stop, and then she was thinking and trying to improvise another
mm-hmm.
thing, and so it's that's another thing with the talking all the time, that it just feels like it's very planned, you know.
But I have to say that it's difficult to come up with the exercises even if you prepare it in advance to make that flow. It's very challenging when it comes to Pilates.
It is?
To make that flow, mm-hmm, to make it going. Mm. because you know what you want to do, but then you have to think how to get from the previous exercise to that one.
Oh yeah.
Through some movement, through some position, which doesn't feel weird, which doesn't feel that it doesn't belong there.
Mm.
Because I had the same experience that it wasn't here at Physique and it was a different gym, but I went to yoga and I could feel that she was prepared, okay? I'm not saying that she wasn't, but it wasn't thought through.
Mm.
So, for example, we were standing and suddenly she wanted us to go to some position down on the floor, which was really complicated, so you really had to, you know, get there somehow by yourself without any idea behind it. So, yeah, you can feel a difference.
Mm.
Somehow you wish that everyone will get better, you know? That's like I wanted to tell that Spanish person too, you know? We are all beginners in the beginning, but this period is it's a short thing. And if you are prepared to learn and grow, this is what I mean with the intention, you know, when you hated it when you were a teenager,
mm.
and you just got angrier and angrier.
Yeah.
And then suddenly at a certain point, like me too, suddenly at a certain point, you said, oh, when I had this crisis and I started coming for the first time, I had like refused. People said, do you want to go out jogging or something?
Mm.
And I'm like, are you talking to me, really? me jogging? Never in my life. and going to the gym, it was like, I would have never, ever gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then suddenly everything changed, because and what changes in the is that you suddenly say okay to the experience.
But did you had hard time to say okay, I'm going, or you just felt like yes, I want to go?
I think I just didn't have a choice. I couldn't keep doing things the way I had, so I had to change something, you know. So I just changed everything.
Because for me it was a huge challenge to come here for the first time.
Yeah.
Because how I got to the Physiken is that my friend brought me here,
mm.
and he said, okay, bring your training clothes tomorrow, I will bring you to the gym. And I'm like, first of all, I hate training with somebody,
yeah.
because I like to be alone if I do something,
yeah.
and then it just makes me nervous and stressed and I don't feel comfortable to work out with you. And then at some point I said, okay, Alisa, you can't be like this. You have to get over it. Take it as a challenge,
mm.
take your stuff, take yourself and go there.
Mm.
So for me, that first step was horrible.
Mm.
It wasn't that I would want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, I had to force myself,
mm.
because I was just scared.
Mm.
I was so scared in the beginning, just to come here. And now I'm standing here having a classes,
yeah.
talking to people. Yeah. Big journey.
Yeah, big journey.
In 1 year.
Mm. In 1 year. It's
mm.
crazy.
Yeah.
Why is it better to work out than to not work out?
For me personally, is that you feel better when you do something physically,
yeah,
especially after sitting at work all day,
mm.
and then it helps you to release some pressure which is inside of you and clear your mind.
Yeah,
that's I think the most important,
mm.
because you know you have so many thoughts during the day and you are thinking, maybe even overthinking, and then you come here or you go to the gym or you go do your stuff,
mm.
some exercises, and you don't think about anything.
Mm.
So you really turn off your head, and that's really helpful for me.
Even when you are the instructor, can you turn off these voices or the emotions and the pressure? And
I would say yes.
Yeah.
It's a bit exhausting.
Yeah.
When you are as an instructor compared to go there as a participant,
yeah,
of course, more like not physically exhausting but mentally,
mm.
because you have to give a lot of from yourself to the other people to make some nice class. But still you are doing something else, you are thinking about something else than during the whole day, so I think it's nice.
I think for me it's the most important is how it's like I didn't know I could be in this body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of it's like the energy that I sent out. I sent out this mixed energy, like all the pressure that I had just came out all the time,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I didn't take responsibility for it, you know, like a child. Like I suppose it's just how it is. So I think with working out, and especially with these, with Pilates and other things that make you isolate the muscles that you're using and relax the rest, so you're not always using the entire body.
Yes.
Sort of translates to the head as well, you know? It helps you not use all your thoughts and feelings, like not use, but not feel all your feelings and think all your thoughts at once. So it's sort of, it sorts things out. And
yeah.
I think for me it's like moving into my body, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's also getting the control over your body and your thoughts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you are here and you can maybe turn it off or focus on something else, like focusing on your exercising, then you really know how to control your head.
Yeah.
And I think that's also powerful.
I'm wondering, somatic practices help release pressure and steam from thoughts and emotions, beliefs about the world, ourselves and our place in the world, our relational selves. Should we limit? I think I somehow had the idea that somatic philosophy would show how our minds could inhabit our bodies all the time. A revolutionary new consciousness. But sleeping, for instance, is that a somatic practice? Is it the most authentic somatic practice, sleeping? I mean, how often and what type? Oh, I'll just leave that for now. Another thought, improvisation. Alitza said she sometimes improvises instructions in class. So, I suppose I often think of improvisation as, well, unplanned reaction to circumstance, surprise exploration. But is that what it is? What if it can be much more profound than that? Like responding to a situation's needs. That's what leadership is, isn't it? Improvisation as leadership. Meanwhile, at the bus stop, I remember to tell myself that a straight back, as straight as a one-year-old's, is a back that doesn't hurt. You have just listened to the fourth episode of the podcast series on somatic philosophy from Philoprax, Göteborgs Filosofiska Praktik. You can find this and all the other episodes on Philoprax.se.